also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee we ascribe glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and thine all-holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to Saint Matthew. Let us attend. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. The eye is the lamp of the body, says the Lord. What is this eye? It is our inner spiritual eye. It can shine with either of two kinds of inner spiritual light. A spiritual light that is light, and a spiritual light that is darkness. If this eye is single, that's how the Greek reads. Some translations say, if this eye is sound, if this eye is healthy, which can be a translation of this word, but most basically it means single, and I think it's important. So we'll stick with what the word actually means and see what insights it yields to us. The Lord says, if this eye is single, then it shines with a spiritual light that illumines the whole body. If this eye is not single, then it is evil. This is what is in the Greek. Then it is evil. And it shines with a spiritual light that is in fact darkness. What precisely is this inner eye? And what are these two kinds of spiritual light? Our inner eye is the image of God in which we were made. It is our personal center. The Holy Fathers identify it as the intellect that is made to dwell in the sanctuary of the heart, just as Adam was made to live in the Garden of Eden. It is that in us which receives the light of Christ, the true light. Just as Adam and Eve were created to receive the fruit of the tree of life. And when we receive it, when we receive this true light of Christ, we become all light in the likeness of God. But as the image of God, it is that point in us where our free will originates. And in our freedom, we can, if we so choose, turn our inner eye away from Christ to receive the fruit of the serpent tree, to receive the light of Lucifer, the angel of that light which is darkness, whose spirit is the power of the air that rules in the children of disobedience, the children of arrogance, the children of pride, the children of conceit. The light of Christ is the light of God's eternal life that has overcome the light of the evil one that is the darkness of death. If the eye of our body shines with the light of Christ, it makes the whole body to be alive, even if we die, as Jesus says to Mary and Martha at the tomb of Lazarus. Because, as St. Paul says, it is not we who live, but Christ who lives in us. If it shines with the light of the evil one that is darkness, it makes the whole body to be dead, even if we live. As St. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, you were dead in your sins and trespasses, walking according to the course of the ruler of the power of this world that rules, whose spirit is active in the sons of disobedience. Now let us note that the Lord does not contrast a single eye with a complex eye. Rather, the contrast is with a single eye and an evil eye. The heart that is not single is an evil heart. What does all this mean? What comes immediately to mind is the first and greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, strength, and mind. After teaching us of the single eye and the evil eye in this morning's gospel, the Lord goes on immediately to say, as though to explain his teaching on the inner eye, that should be single if it wants to give light, he says, no one can serve two masters, two lords. He will hate the one, he will love the other. Should we note that the Lord does not say, no one may serve two lords, as though you could serve two if you wanted to, but you just may not. You don't have permission to. Rather, he says, no one is able to serve two lords. It's an ontological impossibility. The Lord we serve is the Lord we obey. The Lord we obey is the Lord we love. Ultimately, there are only two lords. The serpent, who is Lord of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Christ, Lord of the tree of life. St. Maximus the Confessor, he died in 662, observed that if the one is the tree of life, then the other could just as well be called the tree of death, for so it is. The Lord means then that we cannot be obedient to the serpent who is Lord of death at the same time that we are obedient to Christ who is the Lord of life. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. You can't be moving towards life and death at the same time. Either our inner eye is turned toward the tree of death, or our inner eye is turned toward the tree of life. Either our inner eye is looking at what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear, or it is looking at the kingdom of heaven. It can't be looking at both at the same time. So we are deceived if we believe that we are seeking first the kingdom of God simply because we believe in God, or because we go to church and say our prayers and even draw near the holy chalice. Let's put this in a way perhaps easier to understand. In my mind and in my heart, do I give even as much energy to seeking after the kingdom of God as I give to fussing over what I shall eat, what I shall drink, what I shall wear? Am I as anxious and as desirous to learn unceasing prayer and the way of the cross, of what it means to put to death what is earthly in me, as I am to planning my daily wardrobe and what restaurants I'll try this week? If what is uppermost in my mind is not what must I do to inherit eternal life, then my heart is not single. It is evil, because it is looking not at Christ on the cross. Rather, it is looking at the ruler of this age in the spirit of disobedience, the spirit of arrogance, self-righteousness, conceit, pride. I am concerned first with what I shall eat, what I shall drink, and what I shall wear. The light then that shines in my heart is the spirit of the world. It's the spirit of the evil one, who is active in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I am then no different from the Israelites. Remember, they thought that they were religious because they went to church, they went to the synagogue. They said their prayers. They did the fasts. They even offered the sacrifices. They drew near to the Lord. But remember what the Lord complained about them to Isaiah. He said, "This people draws near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts, their inner eyes, are far from me." When you draw near to the holy chalice and you receive with your mouth, with your lips, where's your inner eye? Where's our heart? With their outer eye, they look at me. But with their inner eye, they're looking at what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear. The outer eye looks pious, but the inner eye is evil, because its love is the light of this worldly life. It is not occupied first and wholly with the work of the cross, to put to death what is earthly in us, so that we may be delivered from darkness and made well and sound in soul and body, that we may be saved, that we may become who we are truly meant to be, images of God, who love the Lord with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, and our whole strength, so that it is Christ who lives in us, and our whole body, mind, soul, and not the spirit of the world, so that our whole body, mind, and soul is illumined with the light of Christ's eternal life that abides in love forever, and I'm not glowing with a light of the ruler of this age. Brothers and sisters, I do not want to be like Eve. I do not want to receive the serpent's fruit of death. I want to be like the Theotokos. I want to receive the heavenly spirit, Christ's fruit of eternal life and love that abides forever. What then must I do? How do I go about turning my inner eye that is so in love with the world? And it is. How do I go about turning my inner eye toward Christ and healing my heart so that I love Christ and seek Him first and above all else? What must I do? The word of Isaiah the prophet to the Lord comes immediately to mind. He says, "Early in the morning my soul desires thee." And it's interesting that the word that is used here for desire, epithymia, is the same word that is used elsewhere in Holy Scripture for carnal desire. In other words, with my carnal desire, I rise early in the morning to seek thee, O Lord. Why? For thy commandments are a light upon the earth, he says. Beloved, faithful, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true light who has come into the world. The commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ are a light upon the earth. They are words of the Word, lights of the true light. And what is the commandment of the Lord? Repent. Turn around. Turn your inner eye around. Take up your cross and follow me. At the point where your will originates, in your inner eye, in your heart, there, as you as it were, with the help of the church, lay hold of it and turn your inner eye around so that it is looking away from the world of darkness and towards the kingdom of light. Take up your cross and follow me. You know well by now the form in which the church gives the cross to those who want to follow Christ. From the Feast of the Elevation of the Cross, we learn that the wood of the cross is our own humanity. Not because the liturgical texts say that explicitly, but because there is a clear parallel between the wood of the cross and our human nature. So from this, we can say that we take up our cross in obedience to the Lord's command by confronting ourselves in the sincere confession of our sins. By this, we go step by step down into the deeps of our heart, to that point where our inner eye has turned away from the light of Christ to the light of the serpent, by confronting ourselves, by confessing our sins. That's how we descend down to the beginning, the arche of our inner eye. But how do we fight to get down beneath our love for what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and what we shall wear, to the love of God that is the first love in which and for which our heart was made? How do we get down there? What weapons do we use? In the first week of Great Lent, we hear that the ascetic disciplines of the fast, praying, fasting, deeds of mercy, they're called the flowers that grow from the wood of the cross. The wood of the cross would be a parallel to Christ's humanity. And so the ascetic disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving would be flowers that grow from the humanity of Christ. So we take up our cross, we unite ourselves to Christ's body, and we put to death our love for the world so that we can become well and whole in the love of God by taking up the ascetic disciplines of the church under the guidance of the church. Not according to our own wisdom, but we do it according to the guidance of the church. The church will be careful that we don't do it in the wrong way, because that could be just as destructive. And we learn from Isaiah that when we do this, when we take up our cross in obedience to the commandment of Christ, we are taking up the light of Christ. When we anchor our inner life, starting early in the morning, from when we first wake up to when we fall asleep, on prayer and fasting, when we subject our outer life to the daily and weekly and monthly rhythm of the church's liturgical worship. In other words, when we practice both the personal and communal worship of the church as fully as our circumstances allow, not just outwardly but also inwardly, we are beginning to walk in the light that shines in this command of Christ to seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. And so we are beginning to walk in Christ himself, the true light who has come into the world. These ascetic ways of the church, you know, they're the very shape of the cross. And as such, they are the ways by which our soul and body become light. In other words, it's by taking up the cross of the church's ascetic disciplines. This is how we begin to receive the fruit of Christ's Holy Spirit. the healing and life-creating fruit of Christ's Holy Spirit. When in obedience to Christ's command, we begin to take up our cross by doing these ascetic disciplines, our inner eye begins to turn. And if the inner eye doesn't begin to turn, then we stop doing these disciplines because they're boring as hell. They're dry as dust. But when our inner eye turns with these ascetic disciplines, it begins to desire to turn even more. Because the light of Christ begins to fall on it. The heart is quickened, for there is in that light of Christ more than just light. There is the eternal life of God's inexpressibly tender love that abides forever. Wherever the light of this love of God falls, there the heart softens and begins to shine in that light. Drawn by the beauty of that light, the inner eye turns to gaze more and more fully on that light because the soul loves nothing more than beauty. And God is the source of all beauty. And as it turns, as the eye turns to gaze more and more on Him who is the source of all beauty and goodness, the eye begins to become single. Indeed, it begins to desire ardently, to seek, to desire, not just first, but even only that light. In the tender love of that light, the outer eyes become fonts of living water, as the inner eye desires inexpressibly to become that light. Beloved faithful, it is this light of His tender love that abides forever in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the Savior calls us to seek first. It alone, only this light, heals wholly in soul and body, because only this light raises us up in the image of God and raises up the image of God in us. And makes us like God. Light in the love of God that abides forever. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.